Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Jessica Watts, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a conversation about ICE's impact on international students. What's in the old Music Administration building? Tips on what you can wear to stay warm and dress cute in the winter? And this week's B-List and Northwestern ASG recap. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. The recent Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, deployment in the United States is impacting millions nationwide. Despite pushback from government leaders such as Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, ICE still maintains its presence in Chicago and surrounding areas. Georgia Kerrigan sat down with WNUR News reporter Sahana Unni to talk about how ICE is impacting Northwestern's international students.
Sahana, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Georgia.
So your story talks about how students on Northwestern's campus are worried about ICE. And we know ICE has been detaining suspected non-citizens around Chicago, even in Evanston. But aren't international students protected by their student visa? You know, like, why are they concerned about this?
So you would think that with students having a student visa, that they would be completely protected. But unfortunately for international students, there are a lot of conditions in which their student visas can be revoked. And that's something that ICE has really taken advantage of. In the past year, we have students who, if they speak out about certain political issues, they actually end up having their student visa revoked because they're able to be labeled essentially terrorists or working with terrorists or conspiring against the U.S. So I think that international students at Northwestern are seeing these events happen on the news across college campuses, and it really strikes a lot of fear in a lot of them because they know that they are also vulnerable to these technicalities that are being taken advantage of.
What effect have the incidents with ICE that students are seeing across the country had on Northwestern students' freedom of speech and self-expression?
I mean, students are scared, especially international students. When I was reporting this story, even talking to international students, everybody wanted to be completely anonymous because they were so scared that talking about even their own freedom of speech could get their visa revoked, could get them deported. And so you have a lot of people who are in journalism programs who feel like they cannot talk about current events and politics, especially things that they really care about, because they are so scared of their visa being revoked.
And I know the fear, even among the people you interviewed, was not unilateral. Are there specific groups of international students who seem to be more worried than others?
Because of the demographic of students who have had their visas revoked in the news, I think that we really see students from the Middle East specifically being very scared to talk about politics from their home countries. That's not to say that other international students aren't also worried. It's just that the Trump administration has really been targeting a select few countries. We have had travel bans, and a lot of predominantly Muslim countries are kind of coming under attack from the Trump administration. So I think that students from those areas are particularly worried that they are going to be sent back to their home country and not be able to return to the U.S.
And even though the university hasn't officially reported ICE on campus, if ICE does come to campus, what should students do if they are stopped?
Yeah, so if they're stopped, obviously we have seen so much violence with these officers and how they have been treating people. So I think you definitely have to comply. But one thing that you can do is you can find an immigration attorney who can really fight for you, like Alan Toksh. And one thing that he was saying to do, if you are engaging in this legal battle with a visa getting revoked is find a number of different opinions on the matter, legal opinions. You shouldn't just go to a single law office and ask for their opinion. You really want to see everybody, find out all your options for everybody that can help you in this case, because it is such a scary situation.
Moving on to arts and entertainment. In 2015, the Beenan School of Music moved into the Ryan Music Center. That left the old Music Administration building empty. Northwestern promised to repurpose it, but a decade later, it's still vacant. Reporter Ella Barnes set out for answers as to why that is.
Okay, so I am walking up to the Music Administration building right now, and it's very imposing, and it doesn't look like the buildings around it. There's a Brutalist-style building right next door.
It was constructed in a 19th century Second Empire style, with intricate molding and elaborate ornamentation. The building is also completely abandoned.
There's a bunch of posters from February of 2020, and it's a really interesting kind of time capsule that I'm looking into right now, pre-COVID. It's kind of crumbling in the back. There's stones falling off. I understand why people have been avoiding using it.
I asked Carrie West, Assistant Vice President of Facilities Capital Planning, about the building's future and what's currently in it. With long-term projects for Deering, Norris Lawn, and the Jacobs Center finally underway, she says her team is now in the planning stages for several properties, including this one.
I kind of joke, but it's very true. If someone tells me now that they need a new building, I am at least 5 years away from that building being available most of the time.
There's no set plan yet, though. West says they're considering dorms or offices. She says that the building currently houses practice rooms, fireplaces, and performance spaces.
When it was once occupied back at the turn of the century, you can just imagine the students kind of coming through those spaces and down the stairs into these, you know, ballroom / orchestra spaces and into the performance areas and really using the spaces.
She says that there may be updates within the year on what's next for the building. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Barnes.
That was a rerun from a show last spring, but the building still sits vacant. Even in sub-zero temperatures, Wildcats are showing off their style in creative ways. Ella Alexander reports on Northwestern students' favorite winter accessories.
On Friday, Evanston faced an unprecedented winter chill. White snow piled higher and higher on Deering Lawn. The wind whipped across Northwestern's buildings with a frigid tinge. The geese slowly flew away from the ever-freezing Lakeville. And a rare few students braved the cold. To survive these sub-zero temperatures, students donned a variety of creative, fashionable, and functional cold weather accessories. But these pieces did more than just protect them from frostbite. Medill first year Sarah Park gets to show off her knitting skills. She recently learned how to knit as a way of connecting to her grandma and aunt, who were avid knitters. Now, she has a newfound closeness to her family, a fun de-stressing outlet, and one-of-a-kind winter pieces.
My scarf is like a kind of mundane color. It's gray, but I feel like it's just special to know that I was the one that knit it myself. And so even though like outside it looks kind of like normal and casual, but like to me it feels really special.
Park also sees winter accessories, specifically handmade ones, as a great way to show your personality.
I just feel like it's a good way of expressing myself. Like, it's just crazy that I knit this and now I'm like going out and wearing it.
Meanwhile, communications first year Maeve McGill sees winter accessories as a perfect outlet for fashion experimentation and style. She took on Friday's chill with her staple, a gray fur bucket hat.
If I have a fun hat I want to put on, then it's like, all right, I might as well get my coat on and I can layer a whole outfit.
The right winter accessories can turn an outfit upside down. But, according to McGill, not only can they revolutionize an outfit, they can do the same for her mood. Accessories can bring some warmth to our closest moments, both literally and figuratively.
I think accessories give you something to look forward to, especially when it gets dark out real early. It's exciting to go to class and really be able to be yourself, even when you might not feel it because of the weather.
Though hats and scarves are effective winter staples, there are so many underexplored options beside these two classic picks. Each freezing day, Sophia Maiman opts for earmuffs.
They are very big and fluffy and warm, and I would describe them as the life hack for getting through Chicago winters, for sure.
As a Chicago native, Maimon loves winter, but with some caveats.
I don't think I would love the winter as much as I do if I didn't have big fluffy earmuffs and like a big fluffy scarf. One, to romanticize everything, but two, because cold ears is just the worst part of winter, I would say.
When freezing weather hits Evanston, Northwestern students show that with a good winter accessory, they are ready to face the frigid temperatures with creativity, love, and of course, style. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Alexander.
At the start of the new year, people are often full of resolutions and new habits they swear they are finally going to adopt. But 4 weeks later, those rock-solid goals have often started to slip away as reality sets in. Two springs ago, reporter Gabby Schell cataloged her own experience with the cycle of setting goals, yet missing the mark. WNUR's Mariah Petway recently checked back in to see how her habits have held up and what advice she has for people currently struggling to make good on their resolutions.
So you decided to start your healthy habit journey around your 18th birthday. Why is it important to build healthy habits at any point in the year and not just January?
Yeah, well, I think we all think of January as a great time to add in all these new healthy habits because it's a new year, we're excited, everybody's making their resolutions. And I think there's this notion that if you fail, okay, well, it's time to wait for next year. So I think it's a really good idea to reframe this. I mean, there are plenty of reasons around the year that you might want to kick in a new, like, introduce a new healthy habit. So for me, I was turning 18. We had just started a new quarter at school, so I had a new schedule, and it seemed like a really good time to try to change up my lifestyle a bit. But that could look very different for anybody else. Or honestly, if you just find yourself with a little extra motivation, something you notice and you want to change, I think it's a really good idea just to take that leap and make the change. You know, try your best no matter what time of the year it is, because it's always a good idea to try to make ourselves a little bit better.
What would you say makes someone successful at achieving their health goals?
Really what it is consistency, right? Because I think whenever we want to introduce a new habit or change up our lifestyle a bit, we have this initial burst of motivation, right? It's so fun and new to be doing these habits. But eventually something happens, like you get tired or you get really busy, or like when I was doing this challenge for myself, I got sick. And that initial thing is going to come. It's going to disrupt your habits. And it's easy to feel stuck in that and say, okay, well, I failed, right? But a habit doesn't have to be every single day. It's more of a long-term commitment. So I think somebody who sticks with the healthy habits is somebody who takes those setbacks and rolls with it and says, okay, I didn't do what I wanted to do yesterday, but today's a new day and I'm going to do it, or I'm going to do it at least a little bit, because my goal is a lifelong one and not just an immediate thing that I have to achieve.
So you mentioned in the story and just now that you got sick, you know, a few weeks into this health journey. What would you say for people who are trying to bounce back from something like that?
Yeah, especially with something like getting sick, I think it's really important to recognize what your body needs in that moment. And so sometimes that is taking a break. Like, obviously, I couldn't be running like I was trying to. And a lot of my habits did change in that initial moment. But I think especially if your goal is like long-term health, taking that time for yourself is a good way to like reflect on that and then, you know, reset your goals when you come back.
So it's been 2 years since you shared this story. Did you maintain any of these healthy habits?
Yeah, well, I think I titled the story How to Turn Your Life Around in 7 Days, and I definitely didn't at the time. I would say that my like health journey, especially with these habits, has been very up and down. And it did take me a while to finally get into a rhythm that I liked. But I think doing this challenge really helped me implement a few of these habits. So I started drinking water more regularly. I made sure that I was walking. I really, like, that's something that I do a lot now and I really love. Obviously, it's easy being on a college campus. And focusing on, you know, what I was eating, when I was eating, and being more intentional with that. But then some things kind of fell by the wayside, like I did not keep up with running, sleeping, you know, that was hard. So I think what I've learned is really like taking what works for you, and then when things don't work, accepting that and then looking for a different way that you can continue working towards your long-term goals.
Gabby is a reporter for WNUR News. Thank you for joining us, Gabby.
Ascend skyscrapers, tour a galaxy, envy New York City, and recount a Hallmark Bowls win. All on this week's Beat List. Vidyuth Sridhar has more.
Welcome to the Beat List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, a record-setting climb, a new look at a fan-favorite franchise, a stylish tour twist, and a rosy Chicago Bulls performance. On Sunday, American climber Alex Honnold, who garnered widespread popularity for his free solo of El Capitan in Yosemite, successfully completed his latest climb, a free solo up the 1,667-foot Taipei 101 skyscraper in Taipei, Taiwan. Unlike his previous feats, the event was broadcast live on Netflix, with spectators also present in person to cheer Honnold on. While Honnold is not the first to ascend Taipei 101, his ascent marks the first time the tower has been free soloed. Sunday also saw the release of a new trailer for the Super Mario Galaxy movie, the upcoming sequel to box office hit The Super Mario Bros. Movie. In addition to moving the release date up to April 1st, Nintendo confirmed the Super Mario Galaxy movie will introduce fan-favorite characters Birdo and Yoshi. On Friday, pop megastar Harry Styles announced the dates and stops for his upcoming Together Together tour. Unlike his previous Love On tour, and deviating from common practice, Styles has only included one U.S. stop in New York City. However, he will perform in Madison Square Garden for 30 nights, accompanied by musician Jamie XX. Harry Styles fans aren't the only ones rejoicing in Chicago. On Saturday, the Chicago Bulls retired former point guard Derrick Rose's jersey. As a Bull, Rose won the league's Most Valuable Player award in 2011, the youngest player to do so. He also led the team to 5 playoff appearances, including an appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Bulls defeated the visiting Boston Celtics off a game-winning 3 from guard Kevin Huerter, sparking memories of Rose hitting a buzzer-beating triple against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 2015 playoffs. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Vidyuth Sridhar.
From campus to Chicago, this past week had no shortage of political news. Rachel Spears has this week's State of the N Union.
Welcome to the State of the N Union. WNUR News' political update from campus to Evanston to the world. Today, ASG shifts, Daniel Biss, ICE protests, and the Illinois budget. Last week, Northwestern's Associated Student Government, ASG, experienced some seat shifts. The resignation of CESB sophomore J.J. Nabors-Moore for personal reasons left the role of parliamentarian open. Ryan Lean, a School of Communication senior, had stepped up as acting parliamentarian but was confirmed to hold the position for the rest of the quarter. He had been a member of the Rules Committee, and Lean's departure meant that ASG needed to elect a replacement. Weinberg freshman Xander Hampton won that vote. Because Lean was the only senator representing the School of Communication in ASG, the school will go unrepresented for the rest of the quarter. Both of their seats are empty. In Evanston this weekend, members of the Democratic Party voted to determine which candidates they would endorse in the primaries on March 17th. Some fields, like Illinois' 9th Congressional District, are very crowded. Most candidates spoke to the crowd of active party members, but in the end, supermajorities, more than two-thirds of the vote, were not won by any candidate except for Daniel Biss, the current mayor of Evanston, for state central committeeman. Biss also captured the most amount of votes in the race for a seat in the House of Representatives, but his 53% was not enough to earn an endorsement. Chicago is vying to host either the 2028 or 2032 Democratic National Convention. They last hosted the convention in 2024. If they were to win their bid to host, it could benefit Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who is allegedly considering a run for the White House sometime in the near future. In Chicago yesterday, protesters took to Michigan Avenue to protest the killing of an American citizen by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, officers in Minneapolis over the weekend. Despite the snow, protesters remained outside, calling for the abolition of ICE. In Illinois, lawmakers are attempting to create a budget buffer to help mitigate anxiety associated with the potential funding cuts from the federal government. It would involve reserving more than $480 million. That's all for this week's State of the End Union. For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. I'm sure it goes without saying that recent temps have been less than ideal, and it seems like it's going to stay that way this week. Tonight and tomorrow's temperatures are staying in the low to mid-teens, with wind chills making it feel as cold as negative 10 degrees. That also seems to be the case for the rest of the week. And don't put away those shovels just yet, as Friday's forecast looks like we could be seeing some more snow. Now, taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. The owners of two Evanston restaurants filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week. The bankruptcy was filed for Firehouse Grill on Chicago Avenue and Bluestone on Central Street, which both have been open for decades. Chapter 11 bankruptcy laws allow restaurants to remain in business while the establishments attempt to restructure their finances. Both restaurants are expected to remain open indefinitely. A source close to the Associated Press is telling the organization that Gregory Bovino and some Border Control agents are expected to leave Minneapolis as early as tomorrow. This report comes after President Donald Trump dispatched Border Czar Tom Homan to Minnesota to take charge of ICE operations. For the last several weeks, crowds have gathered in Minneapolis to protest the Trump administration's ICE deployment, as well as the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Preddy. 29 deaths have been reported as a result of the country's recent cold surge. School closures, power outages, and exploding trees have joined heaping amounts of snow and bitter wind chills in parts of the South, Midwest, and Northeast. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Gabby Schell, and our reporters are Mariah Petway, Gabby Schell, Ella Barnes, Ella Alexander, Georgia Kerrigan, Sahana Uni, Rachel Spears, and Vidyath Sridhar. I'm Jessica Watts. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, January 28th. Now back to scheduled programming.